This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, and we are paying attention to the recent news on the construction sector. Because according to the Construction Industry Development Board, one in three of 446 operational construction sites did not comply with COVID-19 protocols during the total lockdown period.
That's right. Since then, 11 of these construction sites have been allowed to resume work after they met the requirements. Now, according to the Works Ministry, CIDB has intensified inspections at construction sites in an effort to contain the spread of the pandemic following increased infections in construction sites nationwide, and particularly in the Klang Valley. We know this. Construction sites clusters are occurring there.
So, of course, we have also seen the Health Ministry announcing that 11 of 19 new clusters detected on Monday were workplace clusters, including construction sites.
So, for some clarity on the situation, we have on the line with us Dato' Ahmad Azri Abdul Hamid, who's the Chief Executive Officer at CIDB Malaysia. Good morning, Dato'. Now, like we said, a total of 150 construction sites have been ordered to close for failure to comply with the COVID-19 lockdown SOPs. I want to know, what are the most common violations here?
Good morning. First and foremost, let me emphasize the fact that the MCO 3.0, after announcement of MCO 3.0, CIDB has been entrusted to ensure that the contractors comply with the SOP, and because of that, we had actually intensified the enforcement activities at construction site. So far, in total, we have actually done about 2,557 site inspection, out of which we found that the majority of it, about 81% or 2,081 of them, are not operating, which is what we're supposed to be. And only about 20% or 476 are operating. Out of that 476 that are operating, we found that 164 did not comply with the SOP. And that is of grave concern. And the among the most common one, about 35% of the non-compliance is basically projects where they didn't get the approval of MITI and yet they proceeded with the work. That's the topmost. The second non-compliance is actually basically projects that declare that they have accommodation at site, but when we inspected, the accommodation is not approved under Act 446. Compliance to Act 446 is important because it will ensure more, physical distancing and all that, because of the limitation of the number of people or workers in a room, for example. So, and the third one is actually because a lot of them are operating above the 60% level that they have declared, because the SOP only allows 60% of the workers to be at site, and we found that in some project there are more than that actually more than 60% that is working at site. And there are also about 20% who don't comply with the basic requirement, for example, to scan My Sejahtera, to do temperature check, and also to do this. To me, is very serious, because this should have been the normal under the PKP or the pandemic COVID-19 period. It should be our normal. It's a normal. So the fact that they don't comply is something that is of grave concern.
Right, Dato. And I think, I want to just point out that it is reassuring that 81% of construction sites aren't in operation, just as it's supposed to be. But I suppose one third of sites not being compliant, of those that are operating, that's still a pretty high number. I mean, why do you think there's this high level of non-compliance? Is it because SOPs are too stringent? Is there a lack of clarity? Or are these just errant contractors who are trying to make a buck?
To me, I would prefer to think that the major reason for this is the SOPs are too stringent. And it's meant to be, because when the government decided to go for MCO 3.0, therefore the instruction issued to us is basically to go for a total lockdown, because that time the numbers of COVID-19 cases, positive cases, are just a lot, too many, and we have to do something. And based on our experience during the previous MCO, is the fact that there are works that you have to allow because of the safety of the people, the safety of the work and all that. For example, maintenance work has got to be allowed. Tunneling drilling work cannot stop. Now, so we have to allow certain criteria of projects. So we have come up with SOP and the type of projects that are allowed. And like I said, when we went to site, there are a lot of projects that actually don't comply with the definition of essential, and yet they're still proceeding with the work. So that's the issue that we are facing. So it's indeed a third is a lot, and we are very concerned about that. That's why we have intensified our enforcement activity at sites.
Yeah, so Doctor, what are the remedial measures may taken to punish and then obviously go back to a full compliance mode?
Basically, when we go to site, we see that there's non-compliance, we will issue the notice of termination of work. We stop completely the work, and also we issue the offence notice and 3B as a form, the breach of contractor's duty. That a notification for them to basically justify why they are doing this, and this will be followed by disciplinary actions against contractor. So upon investigation, contractors and companies can be fined up to RM500,000 for flouting the SOP, and also that's the measures that we are taking.
So sorry, Dato', can I just find out in terms of the the disciplinary measures and the fines?
Yeah,
have they been enforced at all to date?
When we want to issue fine, we have to go through a process of disciplinary action against the contractor. Mm. We need to say that we have to have an investigation report, and after that, we'll call the contractor for an interview to make sure that they justify. And if they are not able to give a proper justification, then stern action will be taken against them.
Yeah, but do you have the power of the law?
Yes, we do. Under Act 520, there's it's a responsibility of the contractors basically to fulfill their obligations. And in Section 34D of Act 520 stipulates that if any death have resulted from the breach of the duty of a contractor in ensuring safety, upon conviction, the contractor shall be liable to fine not exceeding RM500,000 or imprisonment for a term not exceeding 2 years or both.
All right then, Dato. Zooming out, we're also seeing a trend of highway construction accidents, the latest being the Dash Highway incident and just a few months ago, the Souk Highway incident. So what's happening here? Is there something severely lacking in the operational and safety standards of our construction projects?
In terms of standards and guidelines and all that, I think we are not lacking. We have a lot of standards that cover the safety of construction work at site. For example, we have quite a number of construction industry standards, CIS we call it. And for example, we have the construction CIS 25-2018, construction activities, risk assessment, hazard identification, risk analysis. We have CIS 23-2018 that talk about safe use of false work and formwork in construction. And we have CIS 22, safe use of scaffolding in construction, and also CIS 15, guidelines on prevention of fall at construction site. These are a number of basically guidelines and standards that we come up with. And the latest one, after the Suka incident where the parapet fall on the road, we have come up with the CIS 28-2021 under title Public and Road User Safety, construction works adjacent to and above roadways. This has been passed the public comment stage, and now we are going to basically enforce this.
Okay,
so you
okay.
See, the standards are there.
Okay, Dato, just very quickly as well, in terms of the financial aid that a lot of contractors want, what kind of shape and form do you think they'll take, and how urgent is it actually?
To me, that's a major issue in the construction industry now, because all contractors, all companies actually depend on the cash flow. And there are a lot of payment issues now. Basically, the client is not paying the contractors are not paying the subcontractors. And these have actually jeopardized the cash flow as well as the implementation of the project. It's a very serious thing. So among the things that is being requested by the construction companies is basically moratorium on their load. That's something that they are asking for, at least to ease their cash flow problems. And the other one is for the government, they call for government to expedite payments to the contractors as well as the consultant to make sure that the cash flow is there.
Thank you speaking to us. That was Dato' Ahmad Azri Abdul Hamid, Chief Executive Officer of CIDB Malaysia, giving us his views on the safety standards that are being imposed on the construction sites, both from an accident perspective and also from COVID-19.
Yeah, of course. We also see how the construction industry is under some financial distress because of the pandemic. And I was actually quite taken aback by the number of projects, sites that are actually non-operational probably due to the pandemic.
Yeah, because you do need to meet a criteria the government has set out that you can only actually conduct construction if it's actually absolutely essential. So in the past, there was some flexibility. There was a house renovation works that were allowed to proceed, but not under this current criteria. So it's basically just to prevent any workplace clusters, which we have seen in the past. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.